6th of August, 69. This is Fred Real. This is a continuation of the visit with John Palmer at Reddick on Wednesday, the 6th of August, 69. This is Channel 1 Over. This is the beginning of Channel 1 Over.
There's the nearest railroad. And I've heard my dad and my mother talk about my granddad. He'd run a country store. He'd load up eggs and chickens and things. So he's completely blind in one eye and can't see out of the other. Very good. She'll tell you these things, though, once in a while. Like granddaddy, he used to had a little pair of gold tails, and she'd tell me about how he used to weigh that little gold they'd bring in a doggone goose quill. They'd wait on them little old, you know, them little old, I forgot what kind of skids they call it, you know, it's a little old pan on each end, you put a weight, and then you put your, and it balanced up here. What kind of skid you calling it? Oh. And said, she'd see him, right, I wouldn't bring nothing but a doggone goose quill in full of it. And said, then sometimes they'd bring a little bottle and give me a quart of that gold and a load of doggone chickens and eggs and cornmeal and go to game. But I think it'd take him maybe 2 days to go. And then he'd stay over there one day and do his shopping that day and sell his stuff and buy his load and get ready to, and take him 5 days to make the trip. Live that far back out in the mountains.
Yeah.
And, they didn't go every day then.
Yeah.
No, they didn't go every day then to get the, like when you said,
yeah,
to get the bread and
no
stuff.
No.
Three or four trips a year was all they'd make.
Yes, sir.
Three or four trips. Now, I remember when my dad bought 100 pounds of sugar, and 100 pounds of flour, and 50 or 60 pounds of lard, stuff like that. How much coffee that is all ground up, I don't remember, but I know it's a big sack, it was loose.
And
it's a full grain and you grind it. Yeah, that's right, they had a little grind on the wall.
Yeah.
You're right, yeah.
Boy, you had one put it on between your knees.
Yeah. We had those people kept meat and all that kind of stuff from season to season. Now you can't keep it a week, are you? I just don't know what the difference is.
Oh, well, that's right.
Yeah.
Right. It was really cheap.
Yes, sir. My granddad, underneath his house, he had an old cellar dug out. He had to dug out his clay under there, and he dug out just like shells in there.
Dug them out.
Yeah. And he'd taken the nice board and laid along there so he set stuff up when it wouldn't turn off, you know. Have all kinds of canned stuff. It'd take the milk and butter down there. He had a great big old rock. Very big thing, and it was kind of flat on top.
The girl knew who you were.
Yeah, so.
Now that interference came in, and I couldn't get it, and he's talking about a fine subject, how he collected. He gave two or three cases where he just went out and pulled the mattress out and pulled kerosene on it and lit it, set it on fire.
I said, where's that mattress? He bought in here, and I had to go back to the second room and get the thing. It was under a bunch of junk, and I didn't even fold it up. I just pulled it off the bed, pulled it right down through the living room, chair, pulled it out on the floor. And the girl comes hollering, Mama say don't burn that mattress in her yard. Mama say don't. I never even opened my mouth. I just pulled it out, just barely get away from the strip, and I dashed that gal up casually over. I said, woo. And all them shims over there, and they come and thought the house was on fire. That's what hurt them, you see.
Yeah.
They thought that, They found it out. See, I'd burnt the matches. They all run down and see if the house is burning, and then they found out it's matches. And I said, well, I'm just burning up the matches. Wouldn't pay for it. Turn around and got something left. And so that's what made them so mad.
Well, I never heard anything like that.
I tell you, them same niggas come right back in just a short time trade with you again. Yes. If you make one of them pay, 90% will come right on back and trade. You used to collect that way. Had to.
Yeah.
Back then, them days, you had to collect almost that way by force.
Well, were you tough like that too?
I was pretty tough at times because I run. I used to I used to be a happy-go-lucky kind of a fella. Nothing ever bothered me. Nothing when I was growing up. But then I come back from the Army. After I went to the Army, I was altogether different from what I was before I left. Come back, and I started in the short goods business. Got me three of these old government ambulances up there at Blanding. And we sold house to house. And
after the war?
After the war. I had a Jew in New York that used to buy for me when I was in Vincent Gainesville, so he bought something for me and sent it down here, stuff that I couldn't get to my crowd. And I was kind of rough on them then. I kept my blackjack and my gun all the time, too.
Oh, did you?
I sure did when I was on the road, I did. I remember one time up there at Citra, old nigga boy bought a hard sailor stroll like we used to wear, you know, flat rim. You know what I'm talking about, them old hard rims, they call them senators.
Straw,
yeah,
strong?
Yeah, old straw, flat straw.
Flat straw.
You wore them yourself, I know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wear the bands, you'd buy new bands.
Yeah. I sold him one of them hats. And he wouldn't pay. So I was coming up to the house and I saw that nigga going in the door to get out the way before I got there. So I went up to the house and his dad opened the door and said, "He ain't here." And I said, "He's here because I seen him go in there." And so then he started getting some. I just walked back to the car and loaded my gun and the old man come out and paid me. I just sat down inside the car. He seen I loaded him. And he come out and paid me. That old nigga, I know that old nigga's name now. He lives. Well, the boys got killed. Let's see. Now, that nigga lives right down this side of that Silver Springs Packing Company. It's been so long I have forgot his name, but I know him. His daddy, the boy's dead now. But I can't call it. Just about two blocks this side of that Silver Springs Packing Company. There, they'd run from you, get under the bed, behind the door, anywhere.
Yeah.
I know them by heart, because my dad used to work an awful lot of them in the cotton farms in Georgia when I was a little kid, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You growed up with them.
Yeah.
You just used to, that's part of nature.
That's right.
Well, see, that selling seemed like, as I've thought about keeping store, the selling part of it would be simple enough.
Yeah.
The stuff will sell itself. They want it, you know.
Yeah, that's right. But if you've got to collect it, that's another job.
That collecting is a big job.
Yes, sir.
One of my relatives was good at collecting, and he wound up in the bank. And most of the credit I had to leave out. And now we're going on back in the store.
I called over this old nigga out here, Buzzeroo. He's in there one day, and Miss Osteen. Did you ever know Miss Osteen lived over there and worked me down at the prison?
You know, that name sounds familiar. I believe I can believe it.
Yeah, her husband worked for Edwards till he died.
Oh, yeah.
This nigga, I was sitting back there, and I saw him stick a cake in his pocket and do like that. I got up and I walked right on by him over there to where I got them accents right now and come back over there. I said, "Nigga, lay that cake out there." "Ain't got nothing." So he reached in there and he pulled that cake out and he'd almost pushed his fingers all the way through that cake, trying to push it in where I couldn't see it, sir. So I made him pay for the cake. I never did hit him nothing. I just made him pay for the cake and get out. I said, "Don't come back no more."
That made me think. Do you sell any trousers that's got big...
Some of them, I don't know, we'll see.
I'm going out to see Mr. Eastman.
Oh, yeah?
See if he'll put in a hot water heater for me.
Oh, I imagine he will. If he ain't real, he's busy all the time. Look like somebody's got him going all the time.
Yeah. Where do you get your heaters? What kind of heater would you put in? We don't use much hot water.
You got gas or electric? You gonna use gas or electric?
Well, I've been using electric. I could use gas, either one.
Well, if you get a gas, at Western Medical is about as good a heater as you can get.
You use gas?
We use gas at home, yeah.
In your houses?
Yes. Most all of them, yeah. It's cheaper for them, I found out. They like to get by as cheap as they can, you know.
Oh, it is cheaper.
Yeah, a little cheaper than electric. Electric's pretty high.
Well, where do you get them, Mr.
You've got them delivered to you?
Yes, sir. Adam Supply and O'Keller's got them. I did have them. I reckon I have. I haven't bought a hot water heater now in quite a while. Adam, I think, has got them.
What would you ask for? One element?
I'd get a two-element job, I believe, for a heat quicker.
Yeah.
If you need hot water quick, if you got plenty of time, my one's all right. But two-element will heat so much faster.
Keep it hot.
Yeah.
Adams?
Adams Plano Keller's. I bought a mini one there. I used to buy that National from Dead. But the doggone elements cost too much money when they burn out.
Oh, yeah.
They cost you 12 and a half when they burn out.
Yeah.
And they're going to be high in that.
Yeah. Now that's the gas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You ever used gas, Nick?
No.
Just Ellen.
Just
for you. I'll go home and call.
No, now, them gas ones don't use it. That's electric used element.
Yeah.
Yeah, the gas. It just uses the burner and the thermostat.
Mm-hmm.
The electric's the one that uses the element.
Sure. Yes, I
know. Get wrong on that.
Yes, I know how they look. Mm-hmm. I know how the burners look.
Yeah.
We used to have gas all the time. Mr. Palmer, I enjoyed talking to you. Now that's the end of the visit with Mr. John Palmer. This is Channel 1 over around 125-30. Channel 1 over around 125-30 and the end of the visit to John Palmer on Wednesday, the 6th of August, 69. Now we went on up to talk to Fred, and I think this is a good tape. Yeah, my recollection is this is a beautiful tape. This beginning of the visit with Fred on Wednesday, the 13th of August, 69. This is 130, Channel 1
Well, no
over.
More so than usual. I'm supposed to ship them the first week in August. Mississippi River was supposed to get there right away, but the west of it would probably take around 12 days, it said, after the first. I got a few. I couldn't use anybody else's but mine, you know that. Hi there. Run out? What did they come over and buy them from you? Old Clyde ran out over in Micanopy once and he'd get the money and come over here and buy them from me and come back over his paper. That's the way he did. I don't know whether that's right or not. Out of something like that. But it's their job to distribute these things. It ain't. It's supposed to. You can requisition an emergency supply of them, but you don't. It's hard to tell about those things. Give it about a week. Don't get them in then. Well, I'm going to wait for the seven. If not, I'm on emergency requisition something. Thank you, Ellen.
Shutting down this afternoon, friend.
Well, a young, energetic man like you ought not to be sitting down. An old man like me ought to be sitting down, see?
Yeah. Well, you were sitting down talking. you have to do too much thinking when you sit down and talk.
I wish I couldn't think sometimes for a while. I think I could relax a little bit. Okay.
That's the longest I ever heard you talk on the phone.
Well, he was kind of long-winded. He talks awful slow.
He a storekeeper?
He's postmaster at Fairfield and storekeeper, too. He's got a right nice store there.
Who is he?
Gibson. Ellen Gibson.
Tell me about him. I don't know him.
Well, he's some distant kin to my wife. You know, everybody in Fairfield over there is kin to each other.
Yeah.
Used to be. Not now. There's a lot of horse farms coming in and bought up. There's a bunch of old families in there. All of them came down there from South Carolina. 90% of them was kin to each other. In a marriage and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And this one is the postmaster.
Yes.
And where is he?
Fairfield.
Well, how do I find where he is?
You know where Irvin is?
Yeah.
Turn to your left at Irvin and go straight down the road there. Little town right down there. That's a pretty little town.
I don't think I ever went down that road very far.
It's pretty nice to drive down to.
How far is it from Irvin?
Oh, it's not old back. 2-3 miles.
Okay. Well, now, if I had seen it, Fred, I don't recollect.
He settled that. Jane's great-great-grandfather came down there in about 1840-something, I think. Settled down there around Mathula. That's on down below Fairfield. But
yeah.
Young crew drifted on up around Fairfield there. He had a... That old fella, he got a grant from... Was there a president? I think it was Pierce. Was there a president named Pierce?
Franklin Pierce.
Yeah. That's who it was. And,
That's way back.
He moved all his slaves from South Carolina on a boat. He sailed down the coast and down to St. John's, up to St. John's, up there off the Warhawk. It was a steamboat. I don't know what kind of boat he had, but that's what they tell me. Anyway, he and his wife were killed in a buggy wreck, a buggy accident, and buried. They're buried in a cemetery at Blitchton. His wife was born in 1821 in, Newlandsville. That's now Gainesville. I believe she was in 1846 when they got killed. I think she was just 25 years old. I heard Jane speak about it. It's on the old tombstone down there in the graveyard.
Oh,
Butch
yeah.
Went down there and looked at the thing.
Butch did. Yeah.
Her grandfather was in the Florida forces in the Civil War. They got a record of it. You know, you can take a dollar and send it up there to some archive up there in Washington, and they'll send you back the history of your, any of your folks that served in the Civil War. They got a record of all of them up there. You got to, you know what company they were in or something to.
Yeah, start by.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, he was in the Battle of Gainesville. And Professor Bugles of History of Lexington. His name is mentioned in the Battle of Gainesville. It's been some bunch out there then. They all love horseback riding and fox hunting and that kind of stuff. She had an uncle out there that, like his teeth pretty well, and he got lit up and rode his horse to the courthouse in Marion County down in Ocala one day. Rode his horse right to the courthouse.
Yeah, what you said. Talking about
Jane's uncle. A great uncle it was.
Great uncle.
He got on a spree and rode his horse through the courthouse, Marion County Courthouse down there.
Yeah.
That's way back on the hills ago.
Yeah. Well, they was all pretty peppery then, weren't they?
Yeah, I think they all had a big time back then. They had the plantations and horses, to fox hunt, all that kind of stuff. They used to, hunt foxes on horseback.
Yeah.
Dogs run them. Old man Rush out there used to be, and Ed Rush. I don't think you ever met him, did you? He was a character.
Yeah.
You know Dr. Gordon in Gainesville?
Yeah.
Dr. Gordon used to come down and go fox hunting with him.
Yeah, he died. Well, now, who's the Rush, one of the Rush boys still living, isn't it?
It wasn't any boys, it was all girls. You know Mrs. Carter down there? She was Mrs. Carter.
Yeah.
Murtis, she was Rush before she married.
Yeah.
She married Angus Carter.
Yeah.
Now, Angus is kin to Jane.
Yeah. Well, he died.
Yeah.
What happened to Murtis?
Well, she married that fella Sharkey down there, and he died not long ago.
I'd forgotten that.
She's without a husband right on.
Again. Well, now, Rush, that Priest Gordon hunted with, and some of his family still living?
He's got two daughters that are still living. One of them's, she's in a nursing home most of the time. She's the youngest one of them. She was an alcoholic. She's in pretty bad health. I don't know what my
Well, didn't she have a, didn't, right, didn't he have a brother?
He had two or three brothers, but they died years and years ago. He had one brother that killed his wife over at, around Shiloh. They live back over there.
You mean they're called a temperamental family?
I think that his wife was a school teacher. She taught at Shiloh, and he was an alcoholic.
Oh.
He was drinking some of that old bad moonshine they had back then.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
He came home there one night, and she was grading papers. And they never didn't know whether he was fooling around there, threatening or messing around with a gun. The gun went off and shot her brains out, but anyway, he called them up and told them they better come over there. Something bad had happened, and when they got over there, they found him and her both dead. They never did know whether he intentionally killed her.
Well, who would know about the old fox hunts now?
I don't know unless you talk to Ware Carter. He's out at Fairfield. He could tell you about him.
Can he talk?
Ware? Oh, yeah. Oh, Gus, too.
Well, you know him?
I know him real well. John McCray, tell you about a lot of fox hunts that we used to have.
John don't talk.
John McCray? I don't know. I'd get him started, he might.
Well, he's not feeling good.
Yeah, he's got interesting.
Pretty much.
I don't know whether John and Wirt, though, hunted on horseback with old man Ed Rush or not. That might have been before that time. Old man Ed was pretty old when he died. He was up in the 90s, I imagine.
Yeah. Wirt Carter, how old is he?
Wirt's in his 70s.
Well, he would have, he brought up with it. He knows all about it.
Oh, he still goes fox hunting.
He does?
Yeah, man, he loves fox hunting.
Where's he live, Fred?
He lives out there beyond Fairfield.
He lives out in that neighborhood?
Oh, yeah.
Wirt Carter. If I went over there, could I say I was calling Fred Wood? He said, you can tell me about fox hunting.
Yeah, I tell him that.
Well, it'd be a good time to catch him.
I don't know, sir, about that, man. I don't ever get back over that way much myself. Every once in a while.
Well, now, who is this fellow you was talking to on the phone?
That's Alan Gibson.
Oh.
Well, he runs the Gibson Mercantile Company.
He don't know anything about it?
He never did do any much, I don't think. If you might go over and asked him where he could get in touch with Word at, or Word gets his mail over there from Alan, I think. Alan's been over there, born and raised over there. He's about as old as I am.
Yeah.
We used to play ball together.
Oh, really? Over there?
All around.
Oh, was he in that same ball circuit?
Yeah. He played with Reddick.
Huh?
He played on the Reddick team.
Well, I haven't heard you talking about the Reddick team. Just making open McIntosh.
Making open McIntosh, Orange Lake, and Reddick were all in it to start with. Orange Lake and Micanopy, they dropped out. The other three don't fought it out to the bitter end.
Orange Lake dropped out? And Reddick? But Micanopy?
No, Reddick stayed in Micanopy.
Micanopy dropped out.
Yeah, they never did have much of a team over there. They really never did get started. Micanopy did. Reddick and Orange Lake had a pretty good team down there.
Fred? What did Jim Means do on baseball?
Played first base. He used to pitch some.
Do you remember any of his playing?
Oh, yes, sir. Played with him. I don't know how much. Batted cross-handed. Batted
fine.
This way.
Fine?
He batted cross-handed. And bat like that, and hold his bat like that.
Oh, yeah.
He held it like this.
Not bragging, you superstitious.
To write up the games in the paper.
I can't believe it.
You'd always have J.D. Means very prominent in there about whatever happened. About it. I think he took credit for a lot of things he didn't do, too. They had a little paper at McIntosh in there published. The North Marion News. Came out once a week. And oh, boy, they had all the gossip and all in it.
Wow, I'm telling you.
About three or four sheets in it, I think. You know Hendricks down that runs the drugstore?
Sure.
His grandfather edited that paper. He came down here from somewhere up the country there. I forgot now where, but he started a little newspaper down there. He had a little... They printed that thing in... do you know the building that Wind keeps all his pipe supply in? That's where they printed that thing. For a long time. I wish I'd saved some of the copies of that darn thing, but I didn't. I bet you old Jim Means has got clippings out of there, all those ball games over there somewhere around his house now.
How can you find out?
He might tell you that he had them if you get to talking to him.
He won't tell. He won't talk to me anymore.
He won't? He's kind of a peculiar duck.
I'm on his list. Buster. He won't have anything to do with Buster anymore. I remember that's some of the finest conversation I've heard over there at Buster's. And Jim would come in out of the avenue, sit back in one of those old car seats Buster had in there. No. He just talked like a judge. Boy, he just lay it off and tell you how it was. I just love to hear him talk. If I knew when he'd stop to see, I'd stop waiting for him. Oh, he'd tell you how to avoid paying income tax.
I doubt if he'll pay it.
Well, that's it. He talks from experience, you see.
Now, I don't know whether he's paid into Social Security or not, but if he pays Social Security, they'll check right back on him on income tax.
Yeah.
That's the way to catch a lot of them. You see now, a farmer, if he's working for a farmer, if he makes a certain amount, would take out Social Security tax, but he wouldn't take out any withholding tax. A farmer don't have to take out any withholding tax.
You know a lot of innocent people, man.
Huh? Well, some of them been too interesting.
You mean, got
getting bit to you or make a touch on you or something like that. It was kind of really interesting.
You ever have anybody touch
you? Boy or something like that? Oh, yeah. Might put it this way, not since I learned better, though.
Yeah. I taught to learn. Well, how do you avoid it now?
Learn how to say no.
Yes, I can.
Say, either say I haven't got it or say no.
Yeah.
This way, say no. Well, there was an old fellow that lived here when I was a boy. His name was Miller. And if there ever was an unforgettable character, now he's one.
Now, this is an interesting intermission. I thought afterwards if I'd sit down and just spoke out all of them that came in and interrupted the conversation, while we were sitting there, that would make the tape interesting, and it would really sound like the country store. See, these little colored boys came in. One of them had a gallon can, square thing. Fred figured he wanted kerosene, walked on in with him. At the door, you can hear him say, how much kerosene do you want in that can? Directly he came on out with that can in his hand. The little boys in the background, they were watching the candy counter, I guess, and he walked on out to the gasoline pump, and he looked over us, and he says, the state pays 10 cents a mile. I couldn't see the relevance. I said, you think that's enough? Well, he said, I've often thought I'd make more by mileage than I do by these purchases, sales. Now, that stayed in my mind for days, and he was good-natured about it, and he went clear over to pump, and his voice carried all the way.
How much
carousel? No. No. What did you get? About 10 or 16 cents of... 10 cents a mile allowance for your car, and all around 16, something like that.
And what is
it? I just think as much as I have to walk in here, I believe I just 10 or 15 cents, I might come out better going on a mileage business like that.
State Postal Inspector.
Oh. You square me this, don't worry me now. There's the Internal Revenue man coming out to paint, though.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I don't think anybody likes to see them fellas. I don't know whether I ever told you a joke on a little old fourth-class post office that an old post office inspector told him was or not. His name was old man Reese. He said he was back up the country and way back up in the mountains. He was the United States Postal Inspector, and they sent him over to some little old place way back over there to inspect post office. They got over there and said, the old man is a postmaster. He had a general store there. He walked in and told the old man who he was. The old man told him, well, he had the money and the stamps. Handed him two cigar boxes for him to count the money out of the stamps. About that time, said, a train come pulling in there, and the old man went over there and got the mail, came back in.
He said he'd got after the old fellow.
About several little
irregularities that he had there. The man looked like he didn't like it very much for him to say anything to him. You know, when he got the sack of mail and came back over to his store, said he had a big table there. Big long table. He unlocked the sack of mail and just threw it on that table. People come in there and sort to it and get their mail. He told the old fella, he says, "You can't do that, sir. That's not
like
to do something like this. You got to sort through that mail and put it up in these boxes here for these people to get their mail. You better get you some boxes or something like that." He said he got pretty kind of rough at the old man. He said the old fella kept kind of getting a little red in the face. So that's why that old fella told him. He said, "Let me tell you something." He said, "This is my land, my building." Said he handed him two cigar boxes. Says, "Here's your post office. Get out. I don't want it." Just send him two cigar boxes.
See, that all you can
take. Stamps in one box and money in the other. Then your post office, get out.
Well, that's not a bad system.
I don't think he'd had any complaints up there. I mean, as soon as people around there.
And left over, he can... Miller, who is that, Fred?
He was kin to Ms. Johnson. I think he was Ms. Johnson, I believe, a cousin. He lived up there in that house that Rob lives in now. Above me, he had about five or six children. His wife died when they were real young. He had kind of a rough time feeding them and taking care of them. He made his living fishing out on Orange Lake. That's when you could sell freshwater fish. And he caught all his with hook and line with a rod and reel. He stayed up at the house with us for a long time. He worked clerk down here in the store for my father. But if he wasn't a bird, he could say some of the funniest things I ever heard. I wish I could remember all this. He had something for everything.
Hard times didn't worry him too much.
Oh, he'd complain and go on, but after a while he'd crack a joke kind of a dry in a dry way that it makes you pitch aside pretty much.
Yeah.
His mother-in-law belonged to the Baptist Church. And she took this paper as Baptist Witness. Well, my father one time, he said that paper was so wet he couldn't strike a match to it and make a fire with it. He was pretty well educated. I don't think he had any college degree or anything like that, but he had a good education. He was kind of a jack at all trades. He jack-legged carpenter.
Yeah.
Farm here for quite a while.
After he quit working for your daddy?
Well, before he started working for him.
Yeah.
He got enough for him, he couldn't make any money out of it.
Yeah.
He told one fellow down here, a railroad man one time, that's when they shipped all the stuff, you know, on consignment. Told him if he'd just give him the freight, every package of stuff he shipped, well, that's all he wanted. That they could have the stuff, just pay him the freight.
Pay him the freight.
Yes, I remember that. We got to talk about that. Freight, several times. He didn't like anybody. He really didn't like them. If he liked them, everything was okay.
Yeah.
Now, he didn't like Mr. Welch. Well, he didn't have a bit of use for him.
Well, He was, well, died in 1925, so he must have gone well on back to that fence.
He did. He was around here when I was a year too old. He was here then. He's been here a long time. He was one of them. I think he came here. I think he and Mr. P.K. Richardson, Mr. P.K. Richardson's brother, Jack Richardson, and Buddy Huff's father, Huff, I think they all came down here together. I think they came down here to pack oranges.
Yeah.
I know I've heard my mother say that they used to come up there to the house. Grandmother played the piano and so did my Aunt Augusta. And this bunch of boys come up there to the house on Sunday evenings and sang a whole lot. Old man Miller had a darn good voice on it. And Mr. Miller, they all came down here together. I think they came down here to pack oranges. Now, I understand that there was a packing house right across the railroad track, an orange packing house.
Yeah.
And
they didn't work. They just hired out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just young. Looking for a job.
Now, all of them batched over here. Some place or another. I've heard them joke with each other about their batching experiences over there. Good are you?
Miller. I thought Rob had always lived up there. That's where Rob lived there.
Yeah, my father bought the place from him. He decided to leave him. Well, his family all got married and moved away. He was almost left him by himself, and he sold out and moved down there to Ocala and stayed with his down there.
Now his family grew up and they all moved off.
Yeah, married and moved
away.
Well, Miss Beck over at Lock Lucy, she was one of his daughters. Then he had another daughter over at Daytona Beach.
Oh.
She married an undertaker over there, and he's got a daughter over at Black. They all did real well. They
married well.
Yeah, and raised real nice families. One that his daughter at Daytona Beach, her son is majoring in atomic medicine.
Yeah. You keep up with them? When do you see them?
Oh, they come over to. They came over to see my mother several times before she died, and they come over to this park here every once in a while to Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Well, I don't remember anybody with that name. Well, I know.
Well, they wouldn't be introduced to you by the name of Miller because they all.
Yeah.
And he's got a son that's he's up in Georgia. I saw him. Buddy had a party over here in this place. Oh, 5 or 6 years ago, I took my mother over there, and all the Millers were over there except the youngest girl. She's still in Ocala. She's the only one that married.
All of them here, children?
All of them with Miller, Foreman.